Jesus changes lives. What you heard was not religion. That's new life. Let's turn in Philippians chapter 2 and get right into our topic. We've been talking about body life in the church and just how we can improve and work on these things. We 2 weeks ago, Eric talked to us about fellowship. Who can remember his definition for fellowship when he became Daniel Webster and made up his definition? Who can remember it? Enjoying Jesus together. That's right. And then last week we heard Bob Bruton talk about how we speak to each other and how we need to speak appropriately to each other, using the verse from Ephesians on speaking together in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and all the ways that we can do that. We're going to continue this morning and talk about serving in the assembly and how to be involved in a practical way in each other's lives. So looking at chapter 2, starting in verse 3, and we're going to continue to verse 7, but we're going to focus on 3, 4, and 5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not grasp equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. The purpose of Philippians is to talk to the assembly about their purpose as an assembly, which was, as Paul pointed out several times in chapter 1 already, to participate in the gospel, in reaching the lost for Christ, in seeing people come to Christ, just like Rihanna, having their lives transformed, becoming part of the body. But how are we to achieve that purpose? He goes on in chapter 2, and he tells us, have this mind in verse 5. Have this mind. If you're New American Standard, it says have this attitude. But I like the term mind a little better. It's a little bit more encompassing. It's a little bit more definite. Attitudes seem like something that can change. He came, it was in his mind to come, and as it says in verse 5, to empty himself. He put aside, what that means is he put aside not his deity. He was God. He is God. He always will be God. But in taking on human flesh as well, he set aside his glory and all the brilliance of who he is, and he veiled it, it says elsewhere. And he came as a man. Isaiah says that he was not anything really to look at. He set aside his authority, and he came to do the will of his Father, not his own. He set aside his power. There's an omni in there. Omnipotence. And he lived and he worked and he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine God doing that for you. He came to serve. He says, I didn't come to be served, although he had every right, but he came to serve. How else could he have come except a servant? We think, oh, he came to serve. Well, what a nice choice. But what were his other choices? He could have come as a general of a great army. We wouldn't have liked that, because he would have conquered us. He would have declared war. We were his enemies. He could have come as a great king, and then he would have ruled us with an iron fist, because that's the only way enemies can be ruled. He could have come as a great judge, but then what would have happened? We'd be condemned. He could have come as a creator. Wouldn't that be nice? No, he'd have to start over. He had to come as a servant if we were to be saved. He humbled himself. Other versions say he came in lowliness of mind, becoming obedient all the way to a shameful death. I'm going to become Daniel Webster too, follow Eric's fine example. I have my own definition of humility, being humble. You first. You first. Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will," when he addressed the Father. It's not saying I'm worthless. It's not saying I have no value, I have no business being here. It's saying you're important. In fact, you're more important. And he took the position, it says in verse 7, of a bondservant. Mark 10:45, many of us know this verse, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Have this mind. Have this mind. It's described in Romans 12:10. We have a slide for it. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. This is something that changed in my life. You hear testimonies sometimes of people who have problems with alcohol or drugs, and sometimes they'll get saved and it's just gone. There's no more desire. Well, this was a problem with me, that I grew up in the church, as some of you have too, and before I knew Jesus in a personal way, I didn't want anything to do with you people. I'd come to church because my parents brought me. It was fun to do the activities and stuff. And you don't worry, you were nice people. But then you started talking about Jesus, and that was my exit cue. When I got saved and Jesus transformed my life as he did with Rihanna, that changed. Still can't do this. Like that. All of a sudden, I wanted to be with the people of Christ. And more than that, I wanted to be involved in their life. I wanted to help. I saw things that needed to be done. I wanted to help. I had a truck. Man, for those years, I was Mr. Move It. I don't say that boastfully. I say that as an honor to the Lord. Because before I knew him, I wanted something that didn't help move people. Move me fast. That's what I wanted. So this changed. And in 1 John we read, as one of the tests of coming to know the Lord, it says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death." What are the benefits of having this mind? When we seek to be served instead of serving, that's when we only see our own problems. That's when the problems that are before us are as high as the ceiling. And as many as the people in this auditorium. And that's the way it looks. But when we come to serve, when we come in the name of Jesus Christ and in His power, then all of a sudden those problems, they start to shrink. Problems start to exit. Things get a little better. Things improve when we're actively involved in other people's lives. All of a sudden, our problems are not quite so big. You know, this is an important principle in parenting, isn't it? Virginia and I, we use these verses continually. Most of your effort in parenting from 1 to 18 and maybe even on is to get a child to think about someone other than themselves. Okay, we don't need to talk about that anymore. That point was made. Secondly, it testifies to the world. As saints interact with each other, helping each other, being involved in each other's lives, John 3:13-35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love is not a theory. Love has hands, fingers, feet, and legs. They will know us by our love. Too often a church is known by other things. Divisions. Fantastic programs. Dynamic speakers. There's nothing wrong with some of those things. But Jesus said, this is to be the mark of my assembly. Have this mind. It begins with our relationship with Christ. And of course, we need to be saved, just like Rihanna talked to us about how she repented of her sin. It's a sin that keeps a person from God. It's a sin that closes off the communication and the help that comes from on high. And that has to be dealt with at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what He died for. That's what He came for. That's why He emptied Himself, is to accomplish our salvation. And He came. And from that relationship, then we are now ought to be abiding in Him. It's described in John 15 as the branch and the vine. And here we are, these vines taking the sap from the branch. The Lord providing power and life. We're close. We're talking with Him. We're depending on Him. We're reading what He has to say and trying to do what He wants us to do. That relationship is vital. It's living. It's powerful. We ask the Lord, we start our day, how do you want me to spend my day? Oh, that's a good start. How do you want me to spend my day? And He's going to tell us, love one another. Love one another. We have a slide here for John 15:12. It's the most visible display of Christ in us, where He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Now, oftentimes, we get off easy. We're just called to move our friends, or mow our friend's lawn, or babysit our friend's children, or just sit with our friend when they're sick and read a passage of Scripture. But we do have to lay down a part of our life to do that. In fact, we need to note that as we talk about serving in the church and doing good deeds, that these are the result of salvation, of a relationship with Christ. They are not a reason to go, there's not a reason to do good works in order to achieve salvation. That's what every other religion will teach, except biblical Christianity. It results from our life with Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says that the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. In fact, we are empowered to do this by design. By design. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's another thing that happened to Rihanna and to anyone else who called upon the name of Christ for salvation. They are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's already a game plan for you. We have to listen to see what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us. Well, that's all good, but there's a problem. It's called the flesh. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have the example of Jesus. We're designed for good works, but it still seems to be hard. Why is that? It's because of our flesh. We are born from our mother's womb with an old nature. And it's prone to sin. It's prone to wander. It's prone to say, I don't want to. I'm too busy. Don't bother me. And so we are confronted with the flesh. But when we are born again, when we come to Jesus, we receive a new nature. And there's a struggle between the old and the new nature. And the new nature says, there's a person in need, and I need to help. And the old nature says, no, I'm comfortable. And that's uncomfortable and hard. But the new nature comes and says, look, the Lord is calling us, making an opportunity to serve him. And the old nature resists. It says, it's cold outside. Or it's hot outside. There's a lion in the streets. And then the new nature finally figures out what's going on and says, you better get your behind out of my way. I'm going out the door and helping. And then there's victory. And then there's joy. You ever serve in some capacity and just have joy just in doing it because you know you're in the Lord's will? Right in the middle of God's will. And somebody is going to be helped and encouraged. Sometimes they're not. But that's okay because we know that the Lord has called us and the Lord is pleased. And he's always watching. Sometimes we do it begrudgingly. I'll do it and get it over with. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily. Whatever you do, work heartily. Not begrudgingly. Not slowly. As for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Sometimes we think, well, I'm a great servant. I'm involved. I'm doing. I like doing. Doing is my thing. I like it. This place couldn't run without me. That's a dangerous thought. Luke 17:10. So likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done what our what it was our duty to do. What it was our duty to do. You know why Jesus says that? That's not a discouraging passage. In fact, it's encouraging. It recognizes who we are. We don't bring anything to the table with God. Anything that we do, whatever it is, you're a missionary and a whole country turns to Christ. You're a great preacher and you have crusades. You work in the church and everybody is affected and encouraged by you. That's the Lord. That's the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit working through you. What did you bring to the table? My sin. My mistakes. My old life. You know, the old nature we were talking about? I bring that to the table. The new nature. The good works prepared beforehand. That's Jesus. Well, what about me? What about me? You know, we all have a natural desire for recognition. It would be terrible to walk into this room and nobody know who you are. And I hope that hasn't happened this morning. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody greets you. Nobody says anything to you. We want to be recognized. It's not a sin to have that. It's normal. When it becomes a problem is when it becomes our motive. When it becomes our desire to walk down the aisle and have everybody greet you and recognize you and, oh, yeah, there's Gary, an old boy, great tie tack today. That's when it's a problem. And if I don't get that, then I'm upset. They didn't see my tie tack. And that's where the problems come. Serving is a great blessing because Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. I like the word in the New King James in verse 4. In the NASB it says, I'm sorry, yeah, I like the NASB. Do not merely look out for your own interests. Do not merely look out for your own interests. In the New King James, it says, do not look out only for your interests. And that's fine, but I like merely because it's an inviting word. He's saying, don't miss out. Don't merely look out for your own. You know, you put on your clothes, you take your shower. Well, not in that order, but you feed your face. You come to church, you're all gassed up, you're sitting in the pew, and you took care of yourself. But if you're a parent, what happened of small children? You didn't just take care of yourself, did you? You took care of 1, 2, 3, sometimes 5 little ones. And you had to help them get ready. You know, parents, they learn these verses pretty quick. But don't merely look out for yourself. Look at what you will be missing if you only look out for your own selfishness. If your own things and your own life is good, take care of that. But don't only take care of that. Help somebody else along the way. Encourage them. Help them. Serve them. Witness to them. Encourage them. Love them. Pray for them. Be involved. Get to know somebody. You say, I don't know anybody. Well, that involves going up to them and say, hi, my name is Gary. Well, I'm not good with people. Well, let's pray about that. Let's work on that. But there are ways we can deal with it. Don't miss out. Don't merely look for your own interest. Be involved. We have one of our young couples. They have taco night on Tuesday. I'm not going to say who they are because I don't want to run on their house, but they're reaching out. Everybody's involved. You can come, fellowship, hang out. Well, I don't have a house. I can't do that. All right, well, do what Sister Vita does. She brings her attitude to church. Praise God! All right, that point was made. Others. 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 That's what it's all about. Jesus came as a bondservant. Paul and Timothy identified themselves in the first verse as bondservants. We all know what a bondservant is. If you've been here for any length of time, it's a servant who had the freedom to walk out the door from his master's house. But instead, he looked outside. He didn't see opportunity here. He saw more opportunity here, or he loved his family. He decided to just stay here and serve. And they would take him before the judges, and that would be approved. And then they would take him back home, and they would take the earlobe of his ear, and they would put an awl through it into the door. That signified that here's the door. He could have gone out. He chose to stay. Here's the mark to prove it, both in him and in the house. Bondservant. We are called as bondservants. I want to ask you this morning, about 150 of us here. Imagine, maybe you saw it on TV, maybe you've seen it in real life, real servants, butlers, maids, maitre d's, and they're dressed up in their livery, right? Black and white. In their livery. What if we were dressed up in our livery as bond servants, and somebody new came to that door and walked in? What would you expect? Well, if you watched Downton Abbey, you know. May I take your hat? May I take your coat? May you walk into the living room. I will get the master and he will be right with you. Have this seat. What's your name? My name is. Where are you from? How are you doing? Is there anything I can do to help you? 150 servants descend upon one person. Oh, that would be great. Here's the great question. Am I ready to have my plans changed by God? We all come here with a plan today, for this afternoon, for this evening. We're not coming back to church tonight. Oh boy, free time. But what if the Lord had a different plan than what you had today? It's not that your plan is wrong. There's nothing wrong with your plan. But what if he had a different plan? What would you do? And especially to serve the saints. We have a slide here for Galatians 6:10. I want you to take a look at this. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Some think that, oh, we need to reach out, and we do. But if we reach out and we see people saved, they come to the Lord Jesus, they start attending this church, what are we bringing them into? People who ignore them? Okay, you're saved, good, you're okay. I got to go out now. We have to think about that. We have to think about that. What are we bringing them into? We also have to think about what's attracting people, when people think about Fairhaven Bible Chapel, what's the attraction here? If we could say we have a group of people who love each other, well, that's attractive. You don't think that's going to be attractive? There's a testimony there to be had if only we would respond. We need to spend some time on application. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Remember that we were talking about what if God asked you to change your plan? I'm going to challenge you that before this day is done, that you ask somebody, not in your family, how can I help you? How can I help you? Why should there be needs in this group of people? There are needs, and they come up every day, and sometimes we can't keep up with them. But why should there be ongoing needs? A fence is broken down. Why? If you got a plumbing problem, don't call me. But if you got a fence, we can do it. We can work with that. If you need some encouragement, why can't we call each other? I'm down today. Can you spend some time with me? Ask somebody today, how can I help you? Have this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus. I have another slide for Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. Jeff Matthews has put together a group. I think it's an email group. And he's got this cool name for us, G62. And it's just a way that we can help serve each other. He gets called, hey, I have a situation. And he has, I don't know how many people are on there yet, but a bunch of people who are signed up who have said, if something comes up, I want to help. Sign up for that. See Jeff Matthews. Put me on the list. If there's something that I can do, here, I have some skills. I can have a hammer. I don't know what to do with a screwdriver. All right, tell him. Sign up for G62. See Jeff Matthews. The word went out. We had the Uyghurs moving yesterday. And the word went out. And Jeff told me this week he was encouraged by the number of responses that he got. But there are times where it's not so encouraging. Wouldn't it be great if he had 100 or so people sign up today? I want you to just make his life miserable. And sign up. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that group? Another thing we need to do is we need to know what's happening in the assembly. We come to church, we hear the message, we go away, and we don't know what's going on. We need to know what's happening. Join a prayer chain or a prayer meeting. Be a part. Randy has a big prayer chain going. There's a couple other people who have prayer chains. Know what's going on. How can I pray for the needs in this assembly? Take a grapevine. Read it. Pray over it. I appreciate Patty Sauger. She and her crew have been down typing up the grapevine. They might be doing it right now for years. Oh, no, I see Patty. Good job. She needs help. And some of us say, well, I don't, it's paper. And I've gone digital. And so I just don't even know what paper is anymore. Oh, yes, you do. But let me ask you this. How many of you know how to use Facebook? How many of you know how to use Facebook? Oh, come on. Be truthful. You, Anybody under 30 knows how to use Facebook. You need to see Dave Figueredo. Dave Figueredo, raise your hand. Where are you? Oh, he's up there, high and mighty. You need to see Dave Figueredo because we need help with our website. What we want to do is get the grapevine or something like the grapevine on the website so that you don't have to take that evil old piece of paper, you know. You could do the new wonderful thing with the digital Facebook gadget and look on there and see, okay, here are the needs of the saints, and start praying. You can use that to put in your own prayer requests, and we can start getting to know each other through that. We can put it needs to be more useful. It's just the fact of life that our website has to work harder. So if you know how to use Facebook, that's all you need to go see Dave. Come out to the church work days. The deacons put together these work days, and usually we get 40 or 50 people, but we have 150 people here. What's happening on all those days that is more important? Let me tell you something. If you have children or young people, don't miss the opportunity to bring them to the workday and see the church in action. Don't let them go through life without seeing the assembly at work and getting to know people in the assembly. Oh, but they're older than me. Yeah, that's great. I remember working with older people when I was coming up and getting to know them. Suddenly they weren't just nameless, faceless people in the church. I knew them. And they were helping, and they were working in the church. Take advantage of that opportunity. Don't miss out. In general, just be willing. Just be willing. You got an opportunity. It was Kevin announced. Kit Kirkland's going to be sitting out there. Please go to the beach. Help out. It's an opportunity to serve. Encourage. Maybe you don't have skills or maybe your hands and your legs aren't working the way you want them to. Be an encourager. Say something encouraging. Share a verse with somebody. Have fellowship, as Eric talked about 2 weeks ago. There's plenty to do. There's a reward. We have a slide for Luke 3:38. It's based on the promises of God. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you've ever bought a bag of potato chips or cereal, you know what I'm talking about. Yet it's all half of it is air. No, this is pressed down. Smaller chips make more room, so you put more in. Cereal. Pressed down. Good measure. That's how the Lord treats us. Sometimes we think, I served and I served and I served and I don't get anything out of it. I'm going to quit. Because God forgot about me. Our last verse, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. He did not forget. He did not forget. Never underestimate the power of your service. We'll end with this. When I was 13, we lived in Oakland. We were a poor family. And our garage was basically kind of falling down on one side. And I remember a couple of brothers came over and worked in the heat of July to make repairs along the foundation line. It was hard, gritty, grueling work. Now, not all service is like that, and you can be thankful. But they did it. And I remember the impression that it made. It was this. I remember that the people who loved Jesus loved me and cared about my family. They didn't gain anything. In fact, if you go down to that street, to that house, that garage is gone. It's long gone. All that work, gone. What lasts was in here. That's what you don't want to miss out on. Be a part. Serve in the assembly.